A week of introduction to the family project. See the slide here behind me? The family project coming soon. And we're going to introduce some scripture is what's going to happen. It sets us up for the presentation. It's a little bit of video here this morning. This is brand new from Focus on the Family. But here's some scriptures that sort of get us prepared, and they're going to introduce these scriptures in the session. Then I've got some other scriptures just as we wrap up this morning. But from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the man's name was Adam. And as you study this, you realize that Adam sounds like dirt in Hebrew language. There's a little bit of play on words going on here as well. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there put the man he had formed. Chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. Work is good. Gardening is good. Get some dirt under those fingernails. Chapter 2, 19 and 20. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them before the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And as those chapters unfold, we see the formation of the first family. A man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Something interesting I saw just in the time I was preparing for this. This year, 2014, is the 20th anniversary of a significant date in history and our culture. It's been 20 years now since the UN declared the International Year of the Family, 1994. Interesting year, full of celebrations, observations, really right around the world. So since that observation, since that time, we can ask the question, well, where are we now, 20 years on, 20 years later? Anniversaries are often good to do that, just like reflection time of Thanksgiving. Well, where are we today? What are we thankful for now? With the family, where are we now? Where are we today, 20 years later? So what this is only one session out of 12. Now, we're not doing them all on Sundays. We're going to do one today, and we're going to do one in a month's time. But what we're really doing is we're setting this up. We're setting the stage. We're presenting it to you to follow up in other groups and other opportunities. We're looking at Sunday morning. We're looking at Sunday nights. And we're looking at home groups as well. And we're in the process of setting these up. So this is to introduce the family project to you. It's just not about parenting and raising kids. Don't think that's what it is. You'll see this covers a whole lot of ground about who we are and where we are as a culture, as a people on this planet. This is powerful. It's new. You've never seen this before. And there's nowhere else you can watch it but right here on Sunday morning. So let's enjoy the family project. This is just a first session. This is just an introduction to what it's all about. And then I've got some wrap-up comments at the end. Welcome to the Family Project. Last time, home groups. That's what we're looking at doing. All right, let's continue just a couple of wrap-up thoughts here. And then you can get home to your turkey or roast beast or whatever you have at home to enjoy your afternoon together. The Family Project, as I said, brand new. You've never seen that before. And just a variety of authors there from a lot of different perspectives. Here's some scripture as we wrap up. You'll just see a couple of points there on your bulletin outline. God's purpose and design, and just the forever family component of the family of God. And we'll kind of circle that just for a minute, and then we'll land, because I know we've got a lot of different family structures represented here, all different shapes and sizes. The family of God is something that will be a commonality for us as we embrace that. So we'll look at it in Scripture as we consider family in Scripture. If you were just doing a simple search, the word family in a concordance or an electronic study or something in the Bible, does much pop up there, you think? Yeah, in the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament, does the word family or families, do you think it pops up much? Well, yes, it does. Yeah, don't be shy. Sure, it does. Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. Here's a sampling of how family appears, and I'm just looking at the New Testament. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Interesting. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Just a wonderful picture. The body of Christ is immediately described as a family. And people aren't kind of going, well, what? Really? Family? Is that what it is? No. The church is the body of Christ, and it speaks of relationships, and each member is related to each other. Most notably, it's a family relationship because we say we have the same Father, and if we're kids in that family, then of course we're related, and it is family, and we can use the word family, and the result is obvious. We then become brothers and sisters in the same family, and some cultures, some Christian cultures, use brother and sister a lot. Well, that's why. It's a family connection. It really is, as simply as we can think about family. And God in his wisdom selected the best picture capable of just expressing what we have in Christ. Your family. You're a family. Whether your family can be biological, family can be adopted. Adoption structures abound, and maybe you were included in that. And adoption is something really special in itself, to be chosen as a son or daughter to be adopted in. Or it could be biological, of course, as well. Rudyard Kipling once wrote about families. Family shares things like dreams and hopes and possessions and memories and smiles and frowns and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. Families. A family is a shelter from storms. A friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever alone who is the member of a family. A family. And that's just probably thinking of, Kipling was just, you know, the biological unit. Nothing like going home. No matter where you travel and how long you're away and what the vacation was like, and no matter how good it was, it's always good to be home. Agreed? You like going home. It's just it's that safe place. Four walls and a roof. Small company started in California a few years ago. It's actually called Rent-A-Wife. Rent-A-Wife. Imagine, Rent-A-Wife. Why would you want to? Well, it makes good sense. Hold on, bear with me here. Out in Petaluma, California, Karen Donovan created the customer to help clients decorate their homes, balance budgets, run errands, etc. Donovan launched her business through a small ad in the local newspaper and is already thinking big. After 4 months of operation, she wants to hire her father to initiate Rent-A-Husband and her two teens to start Rent-A-Family. Rent-A-Family. We can do what any family does, she says. This, you know, newfangled entrepreneur. We can come over and eat all your food and turn on all the lights, put handprints on the walls, take showers and leave dirty towels on the floor. And then leave. And then you can call Rent-A-Wife to come clean it up. Rent-A-Family. But seriously, there was a funny little movie made just a couple of years ago in Japan called Rent-A-Family. And it was started by a Japanese entrepreneur who realized that sometimes people need to go and attend certain special events with a husband or with a wife. And it's awkward not to go with a partner or with someone with you, so you can rent someone to go to be your significant other, to go to that event. And he did this as a sideline. Now, it didn't really happen. It was a movie made about it, but what a social commentary that is. Sometimes you just have to rent what you need, get something you really want and aspire to. You can't have it, so you rent it. Can you rent a wife? Can you rent a husband? Can you really rent a family? Sometimes people feel driven to that. God's family. Let's look at this as we finish. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 11. I love this. And just the little tagline I have at the top there is, asking the question in this passage, do you love God's family? Do you love God's family? Now about your love for one another, Paul writes here to the Thessalonian believers. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family through Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we taught you, just as we told you. A church setting, every church setting, church by church by church, family by family, is to be a practical example of love. Love lived out, love displayed. There's a mutuality of loving expression possible in the setting of a church. People can learn to love and to be loved in a church. It's a family. They connect together here. What a great picture. Do you love God's family? As you look around, is this a place where you love and are loved? Oh, beloved, it's designed to be that. Yes, there's a certain group here that always gathers here, and there's people that are coming into it all the time, and it's a growing group. Is this a place where love is practiced, where you can look at someone and say, you know, I love you. I love you in the Lord. It's designed to be that. Hebrews 2. 10 through 12, it's on the screen as well. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. For both the one who makes people holy and those who are being made holy are of the same family. Here again, family in Scripture, family in the Word of God. These are just some quick examples. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And if we were unpacking this a little bit more, we'd discover that we are adopted into God's family. Adoption. What a great picture. And can you imagine Christ calling you, this is my sister, this is my brother. Imagine being brought into that family. Men and women, both included in that. He came. He lived with us. We're coming up to Christmas in a couple of months' time. We're going to be looking at something called the Incarnation. When Jesus took on flesh, he took on body. He came and he made his dwelling amongst us. He lived here. He took on human form. There's a young man named Mark. Mark works with, he's a missionary to inner city street people. And he works with all kinds of addicts in the inner city, and homeless people, homeless men and women, prostitutes, Johns, all of them. Typical big city downtown. The difference being, he lives with them. He actually lives there, dwelling with them on the streets to reach them. It's his parish. It's his community. Amazing. Because he was convinced that that's the only way and the most effective way, really, to reach them and to identify with them. It's to live with them. Can you imagine that? There's a movement here right in Ontario. It's called Move In. It's where Christian young people, usually headed by one couple, but usually they're singles, they move into certain neighborhoods to reach people for Christ in those neighborhoods. It's called Move In. Started in Toronto. It's here in Ottawa. It's happening in Vanier. It's intentional. It's incarnational. We're going to live with these people to reach them. Yes, we'll have our schooling. We'll have our jobs. But we are living here in a Christian community to reach the larger community. Amazing. 160 years ago, Hudson Taylor. Are you familiar with Hudson Taylor? Not the athlete. there's a guy named Hudson Taylor in pro basketball. 160 years ago, England, Yorkshire, acted very similarly. He adopted principles of identification. He served in China. Eventually, as he was there, and he was there many years, over 52 years, he did away with his Western dress, his Western clothing and Western style of appearance, and he adopted the Chinese garb and let his hair grow long. It's called putting it in a queue, and it was sort of braided, goes down your back, and wore all of the Chinese garb to reach them more effectively. To reach the Chinese, he made adaptations to appear like them. that had never been done before. That was scorned and scoffed at. Well, you don't do that. You have to look different. We are Westerners. Well, that's what Jesus did with us. He came and he became one of us. He calls us my brothers, my sisters. His identification with us prepares the way for our identification with him. We identify with him, but he's the one who first identified with us. And we join that by faith. And we join the family of God by faith. And that's all of us, our challenge here at Alta Vista, is to join the family of God by faith. And that's an ever-present challenge we bring to people. All ages, all stages. We all make a decision by faith to receive Christ and to follow him into that family. To join officially, formally, the family of God. And to be welcomed into that. Well, that's the backdrop behind the family project. And you've experienced session one today. We're going to do one more of these later on in November, 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now. And then we're going to launch the rest of the material, all 12 weeks, in small groups. This is excellent, powerful material. It's as good as or better than what you just saw today. This is foundational for life and direction and who you are, where you've come from, and where you're going. You need to have questions, answers to those three questions, pretty well solidified in your thinking. Work them through. There are answers there. So be prepared. Sunday morning Bible school, we're going to launch a class in this. Sunday evening we'll have a study group here at the church. Small group homes as well. The family is that important, and as Tim Daly said at the outset, as he introduced it, it's time for us to reclaim some of this ground that's been lost. We are not going to stand by passively and just watch family erosion. And no, there's no design. No, it doesn't matter, because attacks on the family are just relentless culturally right now. We need to reclaim some ground that's being eroded. Thank you, Father, for this weekend to celebrate and to enjoy. And I trust to take something with us today about family. On a special family weekend for many folk, gathering together, may perhaps insight and eyes be opened and view things a little bit differently. Thank you for the family of God as well that we enjoy. Here in this place today, may we be able to look around and say, this is a family I love. I am to grow in my love for the family of God. And we thank you for that and for the privilege of being here today. Not just an opportunity, but a privilege to share and to share in worship and to worship our Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day today. May it be rich and full. May it be a great weekend. We thank you now in Jesus' name.